Today's reading comes from the first chapter of John, beginning with the 43rd verse. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. But when he got there, he ran across Philip, and he said, "Come, follow me." Now, Philip's hometown was Bethsaida, the same as Andrew and Peter. And Philip went and found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote of in the law, the one preached by the prophets. It's Jesus, Joseph's son, the one from Nazareth." And Nathanael said, "Nazareth? You got to be kidding." And Philip said, "Come and see for yourself." And when Jesus saw him coming, he said, "There's a real Israelite, not a false bone in his body." And Nathanael said, "Where did you get that idea? You don't know me." And Jesus answered, "One day long before Philip called you here, I saw you under a fig tree." And Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You've become a believer simply because I say one day I saw you under a fig tree? You haven't seen anything yet. Before this is over, you're going to see heaven open and God's angels descending to the Son of Humanity, ascending again." Hello. Does anybody have trouble with these stories? No? Okay. Well, maybe it's me then. It might be me, because it seems to me, in the world that I live in the church that I pastor, that Jesus himself could be the pastor of this church and walk out into the community and say, "Come on." And nobody's going to drop anything and come. As a matter of fact, in the world that we live in, if you stop and think about it, nobody drops anything that they're doing when somebody says, "Come on." And it really doesn't matter. It could be God, God's self. Is that a little cynical for you? Why do you suppose that is? Because that's really what we want to concentrate on in this story today. Because, I mean, if you read it and you take it literally, if you're honest, it's a little hard to swallow. It's a little hard to swallow. Here's this dude that everybody is just beginning to hear about. And all he's got to do is say, "Hey." And they drop what they're doing, leave their families, and go follow him. Now, I don't need to tell you that this particular calling of the disciples in the Gospel of John, I have lots of issues with anyway. But the reason that this is a good story is because it stands in stark contrast to the calling of the rest of them. Because Nathanael, when you do a study about Nathanael, this guy is part of the elite. He's a good Jew. He follows the law. He is the guy that's part of the temple. He's the guy in your church, your home church, that we sometimes make fun of when the youth want to do something, and they kind of sit there in their pews and go, "Huh, we've never done it like that before." Amen? We've all ran across those people in the church. It's just fine the way they're doing things. So why change? Nathanael was that guy, and he had a solid reputation. So, what makes the story important? It is not the magic act that John talks about where Jesus said he saw him under the fig tree. That's not what's important. What do you think's important? If it's not about the magic act that convinced Nathanael that Philip was onto something. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I gave you too much of a hint. What what's important about the calling of Nathanael in this story? If it's not the magic act that Jesus knew what he was doing under the fig tree.
I might be off base, but this is what jumped out to me. Rather than speaking to the crowd that was coming to him, he called, not necessarily called out, but brought attention and focused his attention on the one that wasn't running to him.
You're close.
Okay, I'll take that.
Seriously, and I mean it. The focus, folks, is what? On the individual. Mm-hmm. And how did the individual get there? See, that's the two points of today's message. We always talk about, you know, the church having to go out into the world to convert the world and do all those kinds of things. And that's really not what the church has to do. What the church has to do is what happened in this story. And that is tell somebody about what's going on. Give people an opportunity to get their relationship back. And that's got nothing to do with me going to Brandon and saying, hey, by the way, Brandon, your life sucks. So come to church and get it straightened out. Amen? And you know that that's how that happens a lot. Brother, you got a problem. You don't have a job. You should come to church so we can pray for you. That'll fix you because your attitude must be bad. You're not married? Come to church. We'll get you straightened out so that you can get married.
Literally.
Hallelujah. In some cases. But you know, the bottom line here is, again, that's not what the church is supposed to be doing. What the church is actually supposed to be doing is talking about what's going on with people and their relationship with God. That, my friends, number one, is a very individual thing.
Amen.
In other words, the way that you get people interested in the so-called fellowship, in the so-called ministry, and being part of something is because they see something in you that attracts you, that attracts them. And they want to know what's going on. It's not about going out there to save the world. It's about simply living your life as if you are saved. Amen? And see, in these calling, that was the thing that Jesus was emphasizing, because here's the thing. It wasn't a cattle call. It wasn't a group call. It was Philip saying to Nathanael, hey, listen, man, they got some really cool stuff going on here. Come and see. And of course, Nathanael was what? Nothing good could come out of Nazareth? How many people have told you about that as far as coming to church here? You're outside? Really? Well, come on and see. Well, aren't you just like any other church? Come on and see. Or talk about your own life and how things have changed. You know, it was interesting this week. Somebody had sent me a text, and they had given me some help. And because of the help they gave me, I sent them a text back saying that I really didn't. They went out of their way. They have supported me at times that nobody should have supported me. And so it was like, you know, we've all got friends like that, right?
Yeah.
Their response back was to give me a litany of things that I had touched on in their life. And I realized at that point that was one of the reasons that they were involved with this ministry to begin with, was simply because in that time, in getting to know that person, I have simply been myself. Nothing has changed. So if you want to talk about evangelism, if you want to talk about bringing people to church, you want to talk about people understanding the faith, then live out the faith. That's point number one in this story. Point number two, and the reason that it's more important than anything else, is the one thing that we never talk about enough in the church, and that is that Jesus knew who Nathanael was. Hello? You get that? It wasn't about the fig tree. It was about the fact that Jesus knew him. It was the fact that he called him by name. By name. Folks, how many of us?
I like how you feel if the president were to say your name. If the president were to call you out by name, you might feel like, okay, a special for just a moment.
That's a modern day example.
Yeah.
I mean, because we live in a world where people really don't know your name, do they?
No.
I mean, I always find it very interesting when I have to talk to somebody on the phone. You call the electric company or whatever, mm-hmm. and you know how I know they're not listening? Or when I call the VA about Chuck, and they'll ask me who I am, and I'll go, I'm Reverend Paul Turner. I am Mr. Smith's power of attorney. And the next words out of their mouth are, well, Mr. Turner, dot, dot, dot. Hello, did you listen to me? Did you hear me tell you who I am? No, they didn't. Mm-hmm. And see, some of you are sitting here going, what? What did we miss? I told them, it's Reverend. Okay? That's a title that I work for. I earned. It was given to me. It was part of my calling. And people just blow right on by it. How many people at your workplace never say your name? They never say your name. It's, hey, could you get this done for me? Hey, they'll be looking at you.
Hey, you.
And that's the only way that you know that they're talking to you. And a lot of times you don't even know that they're talking to you because they happen to be standing next to you. They look over there and go, oh, by the way, did you get that report done? And you might sit there and go, are you talking to me? Yeah, did you get that report done? Bottom line, folks, I tell you why they don't call you by name. Because they don't know you and they don't want to know you. They don't know you and they don't want to know you. That, my friends, is the bottom line in this story today. It's Jesus making a very early statement, early on in his ministry. Number one, I know you. Number two, I want to know you. It doesn't get any better than that, folks. When you're trying to figure out about your service to God, when you're trying to figure out your relationship to God, when you're trying to figure out, is it all worth it? Understand this. With his child in Jesus Christ, God has called you by name. God has said, and I know you. And I love you unconditionally. So can you give me a little help in this world? Can you be yourself in this world so that others might see that I am about unconditional love? That is what this calling's about. It's not about magic. It's not even about evangelism in the sense that we understand it. It is about the sense that God knows you, knows your name, and has called you by name to be in God's presence, to be able to service God in this world that we live in. God bless you this morning.